Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Pastor Darren Cobb at Red House Baptist Church. You can discover more information about our church at redhousebaptistchurch.com.
All right. So we're in Wayne Grudem's book on Bible doctrine, and this is chapter 27 on baptism. And he asked three questions. Who should be baptized? How should it be done? What does it mean? And I'm going to add a fourth one. See, I can't count. A fourth one. What do some people think baptism means when they're baptized as infants? So let's see if we can throw some controversy in there.
There's never been a problem with that so far.
All right, so he starts out with an explanation and scriptural basis, and right away he brings in the Roman Catholic Church, who classifies baptism as one of the sacraments, and he says that most Protestants, especially Baptists, use this as ordinances, because they were ordained by Christ. And the Roman Catholic Church, as we'll see here, he gets into that quite a bit. There are seven sacraments, and I've forgotten all of them, but there's baptism and confirmation and the whole story, that if you don't go through those properly, then you can't make it. And so this was, again, one of the things of the Reformation. So he says the Catholic Church teaches that these sacraments in themselves actually convey grace to people without requiring faith in person participating in them. So if you're baptized, according to them, you've got it made. And this is why they do infant baptism, so that you will have grace on your life throughout, and if you die, you can go straight to heaven. Unfortunately, that's not right, correct scriptural interpretation of it. And so he says he'll use ordinances and sacraments interchangeably in regarding them as synonymous in meaning. He says, since to above that, it says if we are willing to explain clearly what we mean, it does not seem to make any difference whether we use the word sacraments or not. So he says at the top of page 377 that he advocates a baptistic baptism appropriately administered only to those who give a believable profession of faith in Jesus Christ. And so that kind of goes to the side of paedobaptist, which is infant baptism, which is advocated by this one guy in his systematic theology, Lewis Burkhoff. And he's going to get back into that later on. Anybody have any thoughts as we kick this off today?
Yeah, I just find it kind of ironic. Baptist that, I mean, we all believe and realize that, you know, baptism is not required for salvation. It's just a sacrament or ordinance. Grudem says it is not any kind of a major doctrine at all. And yet, that's the very name of our church denomination. It just seems funny. I mean, I remember us studying the church history last year and was talking about the Anabaptists and then how they got their name. I understand all that. It just seems funny that there are so many churches out there, so many different names and different denominations that do, in fact, believe that baptism is required for salvation. We don't believe that, and yet we're the ones called Baptists. You know, no wonder there's so much denominational confusion.
Okay, the mode and meaning of baptism. Letter A, the practice of baptism in the New Testament was carried out in one way. The person being baptized was immersed or put completely under the water, and then brought back up again. Baptism by immersion, then, is a mode of baptism in the way which baptism was carried out in the New Testament. And so he gives us several reasons here as to why this was done. And he says the first, the Greek word baptizo, means to plunge, to dip, to immerse in water. And then secondly, he says the sense immerse is appropriate and probably required for the word in several New Testament passages. And he gives us Mark 1:5, where the Greek text has in as in, or and not beside or by or near. And so John baptized in the River Jordan. And then Mark tells us when Jesus had been baptized, he came up out of the water. And the Greek there is ek. Pardon my pronunciation if I go the wrong way here. I've studied Spanish, but not Greek. The Greek text specifies that he came out of, and not that he came away from it, which would be expressed apo. And so here again, a couple of different reasons. And sprinkling or pouring water could be done much more just standing beside the river, not actually coming up out of the river. And John the Baptist was baptizing at Anon near Salim because there was much water there. Again, it would not take much water to baptize people by sprinkling, but it would take much water to be baptized by immersion. I thought that was interesting. And then thirdly, the symbolism of the union with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection seemed to require baptism by immersion. Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us have been baptized into Christ? We were baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death. So as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." In Colossians, Paul says, "You were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." And if you recall, Pastor Darren baptized anybody, he says, "You were buried with him," and he puts them under the water, and then you were raised again to new life. And so this is kind of a reaffirmation of this statement every time we see somebody baptized.
Oh, yeah, Staffy, I'll be left. Just a little bit. I have to look up and see where he came up with the sprinkler. And I know it came about. The things where he goes. That's pretty good. Yeah.
Even back then, environmentalist.
So down at the bottom paragraph here, would somebody read that bottom paragraph there? Now the truth is truth.
Now this truth is clearly symbolized in baptism by immersion. From the end of it, the baptism goes down into the water. It is a picture of going down into the grave and being buried. Coming up out of the water is then a picture of being raised in Christ to walk in newness of life. Baptism thus very clearly pictures death to one's old way of life and rising to a new kind of life in Christ. But baptism by sprinkling or pouring simply misses the symbolism.
All right, so there you see, this is the symbolism. And I grew up in the Presbyterian Church, so initially in the Presbyterian Church, you are sprinkled. And so, and in the Catholic Church, and I'm not sure about some of the other ones, but a lot of churches make it a big deal, and particularly with infants, you have a christening dress. It's probably 4 feet long on a foot and a half long baby. And so they make a big deal out of it. They bring them up behind the church, and the pastor, the priest, whoever it is, sprinkle them. And they just dip their finger in the water and they put it in their head there and really get sprinkled. They got a few drops. And so that's what happens, I know, in the Presbyterian Church. And that's done at infancy. And you bring the baby. And you set up a day just like we do for baptism, and it's done in front of the church. Any other thoughts there? Top of 378, bottom of 377.
This guy, are we the only denomination that does not
speak? I think the brethren, my wife was baptized in the river, I think they do it by immersion.
Yeah, the Christian church or denomination.
Yeah, maybe. Other churches do.
Did not sprinkle or sprinkle?
Immersion.
All
right. Immersion.
Yeah, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost.
I did service work for the Mountain Party Church of God, and they had the baptistry in their church. So.
The household baptism just popped in my mind. The Vacation Bible School. We've heard of kids that were invited, you know, in the community to come to Vacation Bible School. And as a result of that, sometime later, you know, a kid maybe he got saved there during or sometime later. But then he went home to his lost mom and dad and the rest of his family. And, you know, talk to them, and somehow they convince them. Well, somehow or another, we know how. But, I mean, you know, they came to church maybe for the first time. And I've heard of parents, you know, getting saved, and the whole family has a direct result, you know, fast forward, from the kid who went to Vacation Bible School the first time. So that's another approach to the household. They got the message, though.
That doesn't. We didn't baptize it as an infant,
right? Yeah.
Or as a 2-year-old.
Yeah, wouldn't have
hope that someday he will accept Christ, and that's kind of what he's pointing out to here. So to baptize it, kind of getting ahead of the game, so to speak.
Right.
Any other thoughts there? Again, at the bottom of 383, he says baptism in the New Testament is a sign of being born again, being cleansed from sin, and beginning the Christian life. And so over and over he emphasizes that, because it's not until then. About the middle of paragraph number 5 there, he says, they argue that the practice of paedo-baptism in actual church life frequently leads persons baptized in infancy to presume that they have been regenerated, and thereby they fail to feel the urgency of their need to come to personal faith in Christ. This is what I was alluding to earlier. I've been baptized, so I'm already a Christian.
Yeah.
So why do I need to do that again? It sounds like you guys haven't done that initially. So you need to be careful with that. See the effect of baptism, before we run out of time here. Bottom of a couple of lines there, I thought was important. The Lord gave us baptism to strengthen and encourage our faith. And it should do so for everyone who's baptized and for every believer who witnesses a baptism. So we don't just take a person out and, you know, don't meet 7 o'clock on Tuesday night and we're baptized. You need to be baptized. Sunday morning, during the service, so that the whole congregation can see what's going on. And so it's kind of a reaffirmation in everybody's mind that when you were baptized, whenever it was, you did the same thing, and you died to Christ, died to your sins, and the spirit of Christ, and where you did. And so I thought that was interesting. You know, sometimes we go through things, and we do things in church, and you know, we get out of the house, and here we go again. You know, kind of attitude. So that's not what we want to do. So is baptism necessary? We should not say that baptism is necessary for salvation. So this is going back to the Roman Catholic teaching. And it says at this point, I'm differing not only in Roman Catholic teaching, but also in the teaching of several Protestant denominations that teach that, in some sense, baptism is necessary for salvation. Although there are different nuances in the teaching, such a position is held by many Episcopalians, many Lutherans, and the Churches of Christ. So here, baptism is a symbol. It's not a necessary act that we have to do. And it's right there in the middle of that first paragraph to say that baptism or any other action is necessary for salvation, is to say that we're not justified by faith alone, but faith plus a certain work, the work of baptism. So, baptism is a symbol of what we've done. Now, if we've accepted Christ and we haven't been baptized, then we lose our salvation. Because what did Jesus say to the thief on the cross?
He was with me in paradise this day.
Right? There was no time for being baptized because he was hanging on the cross and he was ready to die.
Well, this day is ours.
He's got it here somewhere. Today you will be with me in paradise, bottom of Bible 384. Now, I had an aunt one time who was well advanced in years.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. We hope you were encouraged. Our mission at Red House Baptist Church is to exalt Christ, equip believers, and extend the kingdom of God. We invite you to join us for corporate worship on Sunday mornings at 9:15 or 10:45. More information is available at our website, www.redhousebaptistchurch.com, or by calling the church office, 859-623-8471.